Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Melissa. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Laura.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am originally from Boston, and I moved to New York to work in publishing. I worked at HMH for Young Readers first, and then I moved on to Disney Publishing Worldwide. And then the pandemic hit and things happened. So yeah, that was a fun summer. But then I was able to go back to the company, but I'm actually on the Disney game side, but still PR. So it's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting. So let's chat romance, chat historical romance. When did you start reading them? And do you have a favorite time period and author?
Okay, so this is kind of a fun story. I'm glad you asked me this. So I started reading historical romance about 4 years ago now. I was at dinner with some friends and we're all like book lovers. And so, like, you know, I started out in like the YA middle grade space. When I joined, like, became, I guess I would be an influencer now. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah.
So we were just talking books and then they were just talking about romance, you know, and I had like nothing to add to the conversation. I was like, yeah, romance. I don't know. Kind of skeptical, like not that I had anything bad to say. I was just like, I don't know if it was my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, you should read this book and that book. And so one of the books they were saying was, it was a fantasy romance. It was A Promise of Fire. And I can't remember the author because I forgot to write this down. And they were talking about like historical romance and contemporary romance authors. And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And so like they really wanted me to read A Promise of Fire. And I was like, okay. And they must have known I wasn't going to read this. They know me too well. And so a few days later, an Amazon box showed up in my house. My mom's like, what did you order? And I was like, I didn't order anything. And lo and behold, it had three romances in it. One was Rule by, oh my gosh. I can't remember.
Was it Jay Crownover? Was it
yes, yes. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Rule by Jay Crownover. Tessa Dare, Duchess Steele, mm-hmm. and something else. You know, I thought I was prepared, but I wasn't.
That's okay. So,
oh no, I know what it was. It was Kylie Scott's. Lick and what's the second book? Oh my god.
Playing?
Yes. Thank you. Brain fart. Oh my god. Yes. Okay, so it was the bind up. So that's Ooh. What it was. It was Rule, Lick, Play, Bind Up, and then Tessa Dare. And yeah, I was just like, okay, they're in my house now. Might as well read them. And I loved it. I actually really loved Lick and Play. I actually did a reread last year of Lick and Lead because those two are my favorites. Mm-hmm. Rule was good and I did enjoy the rest of the series. I can't remember which one's my favorite.
They're all like the rest of the series is like Rowdy, something else. Like there's like seven books. I did binge Star Wars series.
I ended up binging it afterwards. And this was like 4 years ago. So my brain's like,
yeah.
What? And so it's just, and I don't know, something about the Duchess Steele just like won me over and I like mm-hmm. completely converted to like romance. I mean, it was slow going. I was like reading some other contemporary in between. I did read A Promise of Fire and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And like looking back, I had to go back in my Goodreads and I was like, wait, what did I read? And I was like, contemporary. And so it took me a while. It took me several months before I dove back into historical romance, diving into the Wallflower series by Lisa Kleypas, and then Victoria Alexander's Effington series. So, you know, I think it just has always been historical ever since I discovered those two authors. And then I dove right into Tessa's backlist after that and discovered Sarah McLean. And I kind of was just like, I'll be right back, YA in middle grade, and just like went full steam ahead and just like never went back. I mean, I do like occasionally, but like it's just been 4 years of straight romance. I kid you not, last year, because of pandemic, I basically read 200 books and 99.9 of them were historical romances.
Oh my gosh, I love it. It's
like such a great escape. And you know, I did read a few YA in between, but it's just like historical romance, my kryptonite.
I love this so much. I have to tell you. So I discovered romance by accident in 2016. So it's going to be 5 years now. Feels like forever. And it feels like not that long ago. And I have to tell you, like every time I discover like a new genre and I dive into the backlist of the greatest hits, it's like, it's like amazing. You just like, you discover this like new world that is out there.
I did. And so, you know, I mean, I'm also like in my 30s. So obviously my tastes and interests are going to change dramatically. Not that I, you know, there's nothing wrong with keeping reading YA middle grade. It's just,
yeah,
things change. And so, and I'm also a mood reader. So I've been more like selective in terms of like young adult and middle grade. But like anything historical romance, like Western, pirates, Highlanders, Regency, Victorian, Jordan. But I think I have a soft spot for Regency because that's where my journey began. So yeah. Favorite author, definitely Sarah McLean. Love all of her books. Definitely love all of the heroines who like know what they want and go after what they want. The heroes are so swoon-worthy. I actually just gave two of my girlfriends Wicked and the Wallflower for Galentine's Day. So I was
saw
okay,
that.
Here you go. I'm pushing this on you. But I think my favorite is Brazen and the Beast, which actually replaced my previous favorite, which is One Good Earl Deserves a Lover. They're kind of tied. I know. I was like, I call them both, but I love Brazen just a little bit more. And then A Scot in the Dark was also one of my favorites too.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love this so much. So let's talk about some historical romance that are ideal for contemporary romance readers. Like, because a lot of times it gets contemporary readers, they may get caught up in this whole historical, like, is it like it's a different time period? We're going to talk about dukes. We're going to talk about like the ton, the marriage mart, and all those things. And, you know, when you discover this world, it's like there's a whole brand new world out there. So how do you, which romance will you, we say will be a good bridge for contemporary readers?
Okay. This was actually a really fun question. I'm glad you asked this because obviously I give you a giant list. So my first series is the Destiny series by Beverly Jenkins. It's historical, like Western historical. So these three brothers, their mother owns a ranch, and it's called Destiny. And the women are just so fierce and independent and like, just like, it's so funny. I laughed out loud during the first book. And I'm blanking on the name of the first one. I shouldn't have this written down. But they're like, they just like, these men who just get brought down to their knees by these women. It's just like they have found their perfect match. Like the third book, he's the youngest brother. He gets his ship taken over by a woman pirate. So he has like chasing her down. And it was so great. And they end up getting married, obviously. But just like that whole journey of like trying to find this woman who took his ship and then finding out it ended up getting destroyed at some point. And then like, and then he finds her again at this party. And I can't remember where it is. I should know all this information. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
And he finds out that her uncle is the guy he does business with. And so it was kind of like fate that they brought them back together after she stole his ship. It was the best thing. I mean, the first book was also really good because the woman answered his advertisement looking for someone to help out at the ranch. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's a mess and like everything that these ranchers in his hands are like have all their stuff inside the house. And so she ends up like going into clean, like the maid advertisement. And so she basically comes back from doing something and it's like all of their shit is like in the yard.
Oh my God.
Cause she's like trying to clean and she just basically, it's like tossing everything out and he's like, what the heck?
Oh my God.
And it's just so funny because she gives him a run for his money.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up falling in love.
Oh.
And then the next one is Maya Rodell's Keeping Up with the Cavendishes series. This mm-hmm. one is so great. All of the titles are, or three of the titles are plays on like the 80s, 90s. I almost got the wrong era. 90s film. So the first one is Lady Bridget's Diary. So play mm-hmm. on Bridget Jones's Diary. The next one I think is Chasing Lady Amelia, which is similar to Chasing Amy. Mm-hmm. And then the last, what's the other one? I should have written this down. I'm sorry.
I think,
but
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I read the series and it's delightful.
It's so good. And so she like has mixed all of these, like the first one is like basically Pride and Prejudice mixed with Bridget Jones's Diary. And it's so good. I love when like authors take cultural references that we know and just like decide to mash them up in these series, and it was so great and it was a delight. And they were like a long lost family who were in America and they have to come to London, and I like those stories. Those stories are fun. Like,
yeah, I really love the Americans in the ton.
Oh yeah.
There's like something to be said about like, you know, like Americans who are like savages and they're like
that's why like I'm sorry, this is totally tossing this in there, but this is why like My American Duchess was my favorite by Eloisa James, and like Lillian and Daisy and Wallflowers were so great.
Yeah.
Because they were American and they came over and like took London by storm.
Yeah.
And then the next one I have is Wallflower Wager by Tessa Dare. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, who doesn't love a girl who's like takes all these wounded animals in and like adopts them and just like refuses to give them up?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. And like, oh God. And that parrot from the brothel was such a hoot. It was so great.
Yeah.
And I had it and I met Tessa and she wrote that in as the inscription, like, you know what I'm talking about, that line. I don't know if I want to say it on air. I was like, okay. And so then I read it, I was like, oh my God. And this poor girl who's a wallflower, she like had no idea what the bird was saying.
Yeah.
So great. And I think, I don't want to say what the best part was because I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
But it's a delightful book that you should read it. And it has so many animals.
It's so good. And then Lenora Bell is another author who does the same thing, that like takes cultural references and like plops them into her book. So mm-hmm. How the Duke Was Won is basically The Bachelor. Yep. And then like the twin swapping place. Like,
yes.
What? Like, so great. And then Vivian Lorette's Lord Holt Takes a Bride. I mean, this wallflower and her friends want to write this book about, right, if they want to write a book about rakes and scoundrels, I think, is that what it was? And so they ended up kidnapping him. And I was like, what? It was so good. I was like, yes, please give this more of this to me, like I need it. That was really good. And then the other two were, I mean, Johanna Lindsay, like she's like a legend, OG romance author. Haven't read too many of her books, but the ones that I did read, obviously everyone's favorite, Gentle Rogue. Mm-hmm. So great. Love the Mallorys and the Anderson family. They're too funny. And The Pursuit is kind of in that same vein where like the heroine has 16 uncles. They're Scottish and they have issues with the hero from when he was like 10 years old. And I'm like, really, you're holding a grudge like 16 years later? What the heck? But it's basically the same bonkers Johanna Lindsay like crap that happens in Gentle Rogue, but it's like 1,000 times funnier and crazier, if you can imagine. And then the other one I have was The Courtesan Duchess by Joanna Shute. So this was like her debut novel. She got her start in Regency. And so basically the heroine has married the hero already, but then the hero has fled and is abroad exploring the continent. And so she has finally tracked him down and she decides to go and bring him back because she wants, I think, what was it? She wants a baby. Yes, I think that's usually how it goes. Mm-hmm. And she goes over there and one of her good friends has taught her how to be a courtesan. And so I think the fact that she pulls a wool over his eyes and he doesn't recognize her because it's been so long and like she decides to seduce him. Mm. It's such a great plot. Like, I think it's so funny. And I think all these rom-com readers would enjoy that book or any of these books.
I love this series of like, do her great, like rom-com, funny, you're like, there's contemporary elements within like historical times. And they're like, I think they're like, you can actually get lost in the story and just discover this whole brand new genre that's.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's good. It's
awesome. Good. So which author's on your autobiography list?
Oh, God. Too many. Sarah, I've already said. Yeah. Beverly Jenkins is a new one for me. I'm currently trying to track down like all the original covers for her older books, like Night Song and Indigo. Joanna Shoup, Tessa Dare, Lisa Kleypas, Julia Quinn, of course, Bridgerton, hello. Lenora Bell, and Lorraine Heath.
I love this. So what is your favorite romance trope?
Oh gosh, this is so hard.
I know,
but there's so many good tropes, but I figured out how to bypass this question and give you all of my tropes and why.
Yes, I love this one.
So I said smart heroines, wallflowers, blue stockings, any like even women born like on the wrong side of the tracks, anyone who's like smart and like knows her shit are like it's my favorite trope. So first one I have is My Fake Rake by Ava Lee. It's childhood friends to lovers, another favorite trope. Fake dating, favorite, featuring double bookish, like academic main characters. Our heroine, Lady Grace, is content as a wallflower and would prefer to focus on her scientific pursuits as a naturalist. But there's like this one guy that she has her eyes on and he's finally returned to town. But obviously he overlooks her even though he's scientific genius himself. And so she decides to make him jealous by enlisting the help of her anthropologist friend, Sebastian, by turning him into the perfect man, a rake. And, well, they fall in love. I mean, it works, first of all.
There's
a makeover scene. It works. Turning him into a rake makes him the other guy jealous. But then, obviously, she realizes she has feelings for him.
Yeah, I really love this one. This is another 80s mashup. Like,
it's,
you know,
it is.
So it's kind of like if you like 80s movies, this is like this year's for you. So
even I was, all of her. I'm so excited for the third one. I'm waiting for a Scott Like You.
I'm reading it now. And I didn't realize. I didn't realize who the characters were when blind, and so it's an older heroine, it's a widow heroine. You know,
I'm excited. I know, and I love the prologue. It's so like Breakfast Club.
Yes,
but it's all guys. I love that. Yeah, I love it. Okay. And then, so the second is Surrender to the Devil by Lorraine Heath. This is like difference in like social class, instant attraction. I was going to say insta love, but I was like, that's not right. It's instant attraction and strong dislike for aristocrats by the heroine. So Franny grew up in the streets with four other boys, but while they were like 12, 13 when they were taken in by an earl. Mm-hmm. And so now she's content as a bookkeeper at her brother's gentleman's club. She's definitely the smartest of the bunch, definitely the toughest, obviously, having been surrounded by all these boys. She reminds me of like Grace from Sarah's Daring and the Duke. They're kind of like how they grew up in the streets, also taken in by an earl. Obviously the smartest.
Yeah.
But she, there's an instant attraction when she sees Sterling, the Duke of Greystone, at her brother's wedding. Right? Is that right? Yes. Brother's wedding. Who wants to take her as his mistress. Like, he's ready to go on the marriage mart, but sees her and he's like, maybe just like, just one more night before I throw myself to the matching mamas and their daughters. And so I just love that she like takes control of what she wants in this book, and makes sure everything is on her terms, especially given her traumatic background. And I'll just leave it at that. I love her. And then the other one is Love is a Rogue by Lenora Bell. This one is the gender bent Beauty and the Beast romance, enemies to lovers, also like difference in social class romance. Lady Beatrice prefers to remain in the country and she's writing her dictionary. I think who writes a dictionary, but I love it. She also inherits a very interesting bookshop that is in need of repair. And our hero, Stanford, is a former Navy man who is also a carpenter and who happens to be renovating her brother's house. So she's sitting there in the library trying to work on this dictionary and he's making a ruckus outside because he's got to get the work done. And then she like recruits him to help her with this bookshop. And I think, what was the thing? She finds like questionable material, like scandalous, like readings and stuff like that. And I think it's so great. They're really good.
This is really good. This is Lenora's first non-Duke book. She got a bunch of Duke books. Like, so I love this, like a carpenter, you know.
Yeah. I love it. It was good. I know, I realized her other books were like, what is it, School for Dukes and
something else. I interviewed her last year. And she was like, yeah, it's like Duke. And then I just emailed my editor and said, like, can I write a commoner? So I was like, I think it's based on her husband. So it's kind of like a fun, you know, story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So yeah, but I love the fact it was like, yeah, she's like Duke. And I was like, commoner.
Yeah, I can't wait to read her next one. I don't even know what it's called, but autobiography author. I'm gonna get it anyway.
Me too. I'm like, I think the next one is about winemaking. Oh, she was researching winemaking.
Oh, interesting.
So
I think you kind of see it happen, but like not as much winemaking. It's more of like breweries.
Yeah. Okay,
but I'm excited now.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll come out this year and it'll be very exciting. So
yeah.
Awesome. So what are some of your 5-star reads?
I don't like this question.
I know.
I have too many. I was like notorious of just like reading everything and putting it in Goodreads but not rating them. I was like, because then I won't have to stress about it. But actually this year I'm actually trying to keep track. But I had to really think. So the first one I have is The Madness of Lord Ian Mackenzie by Jennifer Ashley. I'm a huge fan of the chemistry between Ian and Beth. She's so patient with him, and because, you know, she doesn't outright say it, Jennifer, but he's on the autism spectrum. And so, you know, he views the world very differently, and, you know, a lot of people think him well, Mad, of course, his own father put him in an insane asylum, which I thought was like the saddest thing I had to read. And his brother had to get him out. But he found love with Beth, even though at first he didn't understand the concept. And I think she handled it really well, the way that she wrote that book. And every time I read those novellas, I'm like, oh, they're so perfect. And then I found out from a friend, she's writing another book in this series. She's writing about Ian and Beth's oldest son, who we meet in a Mackenzie Yuletide, right? Is that what it's called? I don't remember what it's called. but one of the Christmas novellas. There we go. You meet the oldest son, and he kind of has his own mini adventure with a cousin. And so now I'm really excited to see who he meets and falls in love with. So I'm just glad that we're getting another one. And we get to see Ian and Beth again. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I think so. I interviewed her last year. I had a chance to interview a lot of authors, as you can see. So I interviewed her for a different series altogether, because she writes a Victorian mystery series. And so when she talked about it, she mentioned she was still writing on the Mackenzie series. And I was like, this is a long series. She's still writing on this one. And she had some paranormal too. Like, she's a prolific writer.
I know. I've been like savoring that series. So I read like the first four or so about the brothers, and then I took a break. And then everyone's like, oh, you should read The Ancestors. I was like, okay. And so I read like 7, 8, what is it? I think it's like 7, 8, 9 or 8, 9, 10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously. And then I had to go back and read Daniel's book. Cause I don't think I read that the first time. But they're actually really good. They're so good.
Yeah,
I'm excited. So yeah, I need to go back and read the McBrides. Whoops. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the next one I have is Thief of Shadows by Elizabeth Hoyt. I discovered her last year. And this is the one that actually made me fall in love with the Maid in Moon series and her writing, because Winter is our stoic virgin hero and Lady Isabel is our experienced widowed heroine. And he is the headmaster for a home for foundling children, and she is one of the ladies investing in this home. And she is tasked to make him more respectable by giving him lessons in deportment and a new wardrobe and maybe some lessons and some sexy times. I actually just had to like look that up because I was like, how does it go again? And I was like, oh yeah, he is very tender and caring and asks her what pleases her. And I'm like, yes, Winter, this is why I love you. You are my favorite because you care and you want to get this right. Oh my God. Love it.
I love it.
So sexy and hot. Yeah. And I'm slowly working my way through that series. I think I have 4 left in that one. Well, authors in these long series, I don't understand.
I know. She started in a series. Maidenland should have been a longer series, but there was like some questionable questions. And so, she did mention in her interview, and I'll put links into all these interviews in the show notes. She mentioned that it was a conversation with her agent. It's like, oh, you can sell a new series, and that's why Maidenland she was like, if it was for me, Maidenland would still be going on. but she started Great Court now. Like, they just,
yeah, I saw. I haven't picked up any of the other ones. So I'm working my way slowly through this.
Yeah,
and I just like. I have to, I wish I could talk to her because I really want to know. It's like, how in the world were you this meticulous in planning and plotting and like interweaving like all these books? Because, you know, like the first arc is about the ghost of St. Giles, and she had all these plot points and then they appear later on, but then she also pre-planned. I'm like, oh my God, how does your brain work? And like, that's what fascinates me, like listening to authors talk about their work, is like their process and how, and she just like, she has so many threads of plot going on. And I'm like, how are you keeping track? Like, she must have had like that whole arc pre-planned and like all the fine details are added later. But I was like, wow.
Yeah, genius. I don't know if she's a plotter or a pantser. I did probably ask that question because that was a typical question I asked.
I'm going to have to go back and listen then.
to that one. I know she mentioned the reason why she writes 1700s Georgian period is because she was not inspired by Austen, which is a mm-hmm. lot of historical women's authors are inspired by Austen. She was inspired by somebody else who wrote in that time period.
Got it.
So it was like that was like there, that was a book that inspired her, and so she was like, oh, I'm just gonna write about that time period.
But genius though, the plotting and the oh my gosh, yeah. I can't, it's crazy.
Now I'm going back to my Ellen interview. I'm gonna be like, okay, what did she say? And if not, I'll invite her to come back and tell me.
Can I join you and ask her and pick her brain?
Yeah, I do. I invite other people. I invite other super fans to come and join me for interviews. So we'll do one of them. So just
it would be a good conversation. Okay. And the last one I have is actually one that I read this year. It is The Edge of Desire by Stephanie Lawrence. Mm-hmm. This is the seventh book in the Bastion Club series. Oh, this is a second chance romance murder mystery, and the hero is an ex-spy. Okay, so I'll have to give a little backtrack a little, and I'm usually of someone who has to start at the beginning of the series mm-hmm. and then move forward. Obviously, I just said Thief of Shadows, which is book 4 in the series. Mm-hmm. But The Virgin Hero got me, so I obviously had to jump right in for that. So Edge of Desire was on Step Back Saturday. Someone else posted it, and the reason I bought it on eBay was because it had a purple dress. That mm-hmm. is why I bought it. Because I'm a sucker for purple. And I did no research. You know, Step Back Saturday is dangerous for me and my wallet because all the beautiful step backs, I just like want them all, and I save them all at Instagram. And so I was just like researching, and I found it, and I bought it. And so yeah, it's the seventh book in a series. Whoops. And this is my first Stephanie Lawrence. So I will say it was very plot heavy. It mm-hmm. felt like it dragged a little bit mm-hmm. and it's very dense. Mm-hmm. And it took me a lot longer to read, but there was immense satisfaction in watching Christian and Letitia find their way back to each other because it was a second chance romance. So they were in love when they were younger, like she was like 17, 18 and he was like in his 20s. But he didn't feel ready to take her on as his wife because I think it had to do with like, I don't know, was it a money situation? I can't remember. I think it was like a money thing mm-hmm. or just like pride and like wanted to serve his country. Mm-hmm. So he enlisted in the army. And then he's like recruited by this mysterious person. And I think what is his name? Oh, his code name is Dastiel, I think is his code name. Mm. Right? Is that right? I can't remember because I looked it up. And because I, at first I thought it was like, oh, it's one of those like archangel like code names, right? Because mm-hmm. it has that similar sound and spelling. But it's not. and so they've been apart for like 12 years because he's been like you couldn't find him because he was like undercover. And so she had to marry for the sake of her family. That was like a money situation. So she married for money. Mm-hmm. and she was unhappy in her marriage. And I guess this isn't really spoiled because it's like the very beginning, but the murder was her husband. Ooh. So it basically opens up. He is at his club, the Bastion Club, and she shows up and all black, and he first thinks it's her dad, but she's mm-hmm. like, nope, it's my husband, and mm-hmm. I need you to help me figure out who did it. And so that is a good chunk of the plot, but you also see them falling for each other again, and taking the heroine a really long time to trust him because she had been waiting for him to come back and marry her, and he was too late. Mm-hmm. or like 10 months too late or something like that. And their passion is, it was like crazy. It was like, super hot, like in your face, like romance at the beginning, like super steamy. And then it like other scenes were like, it's like cooled down and then it steams right back up again the next time. They had like sex like a lot in the first 5 chapters. I was like, wow.
This is okay. 30-page sex scenes. Because I was Della's right. It had a 30-page sex scene.
And oh my like, god.
It kept
No, it wasn't like that, but it was like boom, boom, boom in like the first 5 or 6 chapters. And I was like, damn. But I mean, again, they've been apart for like 12 years. So to be expected.
Yeah. So sexy times. There we go.
Yeah. It was great though. I think those were great. And in the end it was good. And now I need to read the rest of the series because I have 8 books to read. Again, it's a long series. I'm sorry, listeners.
You can always read the Sinister series, which is just another.
Oh my god, I made the mistake of looking and I was like, nope, I can't. It's too long.
It's a long series. I read Devil's Pride.
So
I
long.
Read 2 books in the series and I was like, you're really long books. And you're just like, there's a lot of information. A lot of it, I think she does have the murder mystery because the Sinister's Devil's Bride had murder mystery along with the whole relationship stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's her shtick. So I like it.
Interesting. I know I have, well, and I told from when I told people I was reading Stephanie Lawrence and they're like, oh, Sinister's? I was like, no, sorry. oh, well. We'll see. I mean,
you got time.
I got time. I need to finish all these other series before I pick a 24 book series.
Yeah.
So let me wrap these ones up first and then maybe.
I understand. So you're a fan of diverse romance. What are some of the books that you read and love?
Okay. So they're all diverse historical romance, even though I know I need to branch out and read contemporary. I just haven't been reading a lot of contemporary.
Okay.
Whoops. So Indigo by Beverly Jenkins. Actually, that one I read. When did I read that? End of last year. I'm sorry. Time eludes me. I read that end of last year, and I gave it 5 stars. It's hard to pick a favorite Bev Jenkins because they're all so good. But yeah, Indigo. That was recent. The Duke Who Didn't by Courtney Milan.
Mm-hmm.
Regency? Yes. Yes. sorry. The Duke is of Chinese descent, as is the heroine. And I thought that was great. I think what happened was like the hero's dad had met his mom. And brought her, and then they had moved back to England. And it's a childhood romance, it's a lover story. Oh, and Indigo is, I don't remember the tropes, but they both work for the Underground Railroad. And I think, oh my God, what's his name? Oh my God, hold on.
Is that the one with the mustache or Hester?
Hester, yes, Hester and Galen, thank you. I was like, what is his name? Yes, both spies. Great, great book. An Extraordinary Union by Alyssa Cole. Again, Civil War, Underground Railroad type romance, right? Is that Underground? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Between a black main heroine and a white hero.
Ooh.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Sorry. I didn't have notes on this. And then the next one is Her Night with the Duke by Diana Quincy. This one is the heroine is a young widow. She is Arab. And she meets the hero at an inn. Only one bed. And then you find out by accident she slept with her stepdaughter's fiance.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I was like, oh no. So, and I wasn't sure how I was going to like that plot, but I mean, I know a lot of people were like, oh, she like, he basically cheated, but like nothing, you know how it's like, they're well, like, they were not engaged, quote unquote, engaged to be married, but no proposal was announced.
Like, yeah, it was just like,
I was like,
they were talking about
it. He was kind of just like getting it out of the system once before he has to marry type situation, yeah. I think. And there was only one bed, obviously, they yeah. had to. So and I don't count that as cheating. Like, yes, he was quote unquote intended, but no, there was no official patrol, no announcement at the, no bans. Mm-hmm. No bans is red. There we go.
Yep.
Had to think of the word. So it's fair game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so the next one is Ravishing the Heiress by Sherry Thomas. This one, I guess, as in Sarah's term, this one blooded me. This one totally ripped out my heart and stomped on it. So angsty marriage of convenience story. They marry when they were young, but the hero was in love with somebody else. But he kind of was married. I forget what this why, but he had to marry the heroine. And so they make an agreement that they will marry for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And then I think get a divorce. I think that's what it was, or whatever it was. So they're living in the same house, but they haven't really been intimate at all. But I think part of it was that he needs to have an heir.
Mm.
I think, is that what it was? Maybe. And so obviously they have to have sex and for however long it takes for her to conceive. Yeah, that one hurt me, but it was really good. I was crying a lot.
That's the TBR.
Yes. And then, oh God, I don't remember the plot of this one, but It Takes Two to Tumble by Kat Sebastian. This is an LGBTQ Regency romance. I think if I remember correctly, the older hero is a father of two,
mm-hmm.
And hasn't been able to keep a governess for his kids, a boy and a girl. And I think the other hero comes in to teach his kids and then they fall in love.
Oh, mm-hmm.
If I remember that correctly. If I didn't, I'm sorry.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I read it so long ago, but it was so good and it's so cute. So you know, it's like a new take on the aristocrat falling in love with the governess story. It was really good. And then the last one is Beast of Beswick by Amelie Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And I really cannot remember this one. And I forgot to take notes. I'm sorry. But Beast of Beswick, everyone was like, you have to read it. And then I read it and they were right. They were so right. My friend Dana was the one who was like, you have to read it. It's so good. And I was like, okay. It's so good. Yeah.
I love this. So what has been a book you read this past year that you can't stop gushing about?
What Happens in Scotland by Jennifer McQuiston. This one is The Hangover in Victorian mm-hmm. Scotland. It is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
The hero and the heroine wake up after a night of drinking and they end up married,
mm-hmm.
but they have no memory of how it happened. So like the 75% of the book, they're trying to figure out clues to that mysterious night. And I thought it was interesting. They don't see each other for 75% of the book. So they see each other when they wake up. The heroine flips out.
Mm-hmm.
She throws a pot at him, right? Mm-hmm. She throws a pitcher at him, at his head,
yeah.
And storms out. And then so she's trying to piece back all the information together from that night. It's so funny.
It is really funny.
Because all the things that happened, she's like, wait, what did I do? And then you find out the truth. And she's like, oh, it actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I'm just like, listening to it. And I'm like, it's just like each step that they just go, like the kid, the dog, the stuff, the maid.
Oh my God. I know the dog. The dog. But the poor dog, oh my god. Yeah, and the barmaid who becomes her lady's maid.
Yes.
That was a breath of fresh air. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was so, you don't see that. And it was so good.
It was really good. It was really funny. Like, that's what I love. Like, it's like, I didn't think of it. Like, again, it's another, I think it was like, there's a theme that we've been talking about movies, you know, that we've seen, to see them mm-hmm. in historical times. And like, how do you mash up, you know, those themes into like contemporary themes into, you know, historical moments. So.
Yeah. And I like that it was, and it's another one of my like, sort of like, subcategory of like Regency, Victorian, or whatever, is like when it happens in Scotland, or like mm-hmm. the Highlanders or whatever, they come to like London. I love that like subplot. So that's why Scott in the Dark is like my favorite.
What subplot I love? I have a thing for Married in Vegas. So I feel like Married in Scotland is like, Married to me is like, we're going to go to Brandon Green. I'm like, yes! There we go.
But also, if you haven't read Lick by Kylie Scott, it's the same thing. Just contemporary and a rock star.
And a rock star, yeah. All about like anytime they go to Gretna Green, they get married, like any
merchants,
yes. I'm like, and married in Scotland, it's like,
it's see, like, and my that's why like, I liked.
And married, I'm there.
Yeah, and that's why I liked Sarah's A Scott in the Dark, because Alec. Can't remember. Warnick, right? Yep. Duke of Warnick, is that his title? Yes. He was the one that marries King and, oh my god, what is her name? Anyone who's listening to me butcher the names for this book is gonna kill me, because we read this as a group over the summer. For Summer of Sarah McLean. Hi, Dana and Kelly. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I know they're listening to this. One of the Talbot sisters, Sophie. Yes. Sophie and King. So Warnick marries Sophie and King, which I thought was really funny. And I was like, oh, he's definitely getting a look. And he did. Yes. Hi, guys.
Adding that to my TBR of just many, many other books that I need to add. So
I love it. Oh god, we can't go wrong with the Sarah book.
This is awesome.
Sorry to go back to that first question, but like, you just like can't go wrong. And so like Brazen and the Beast has definitely been like my most recommended like by Sarah. But I knew my friends couldn't start with that one. I had to make them go and start with The Wicked and the Wallflower.
Yeah,
because Felicity is so great.
Well, I feel like that whole series, there's a character arc. There's an arc that mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. You cannot read them in order. Like, it's just like, it builds upon.
You do. And like, I mean, I've told some people to start with Brazen and the Beast, but like other times I'm like, no, you can start with Wicked and the Wallflower.
Yeah.
But I think that's also because I'm such a series beginner person.
I'm a series beginners too, but I feel like that series... I think because we got Erwin, we got that whole arc that's happening, and
yeah, you kind of have to start at the beginning. I know. Beginning. Well, sorry to those people that I recommended Brazen first.
Yeah,
but Hattie's so great. I love her.
Yeah,
she's my favorite. She's like my favorite heroine. But also like I love the threat that when authors have that threat of continuity, and mm-hmm. that's kind of what Sarah does, and Beverly does. Oh my god, I'm like working on this like timeline for mm-hmm. Beverly Jenkins books and like how they're connected. Mm. I'll let you know when I'm done.
I love that.
But I'm like determined to read them, so I have to read in that thread that I'm working on. I have to read Vivid and Jewel.
Okay,
because it ties in with everything else that follows, because I am determined to be accurate in my research.
There we go.
Yeah.
So tell us where we can find you online.
I am on Goodreads, Instagram, and Twitter. At @miss_MelissaLee. I'm mostly on Instagram more than Twitter now. I think that's just like Twitter's just a lot. So it's kind of taken a backseat in my social media. So Instagram's more.
It's so good. I like the pretty picture. So
thank you. Thank you.
It's okay. So thank you, Melissa, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.